The vast majority of mentally disturbed people are not violent. They're borderline cases who will continue to live outside institutions. Right now, Sergeant Contreras' hands, his voice, and his unhurried pace are helping Paul's sick mind to accept these restraints with the least possible damage. What a disturbed person experiences during these first crisis hours can have an important influence on his chances of ever making a permanent recovery.
Tonight, a united nation goes forward with the determination to win this war and bring about a just and enduring peace.
Daddy, who is Sean Kennedy?
Well, Sean Kennedy was just a guy who started talking to people all over the world through an internet radio station called Ranch Radio. Eventually, thousands of people all over the world would listen to him talk every Monday night about things that were happening in the world and the things that were going to happen. You see, Sean wasn't governed by anyone or anything. What he screamed into the internet was there for all to see. But that was when we still had rights and freedoms.
There are not enough of you to shoot us all.
You, the few swaggering conquerors. There's no room in a decent world for you and your kind. We little people, thousands, millions of us, will join together and crowd you out of our world.
What? Yes, it's time once again for the Sean Kennedy Show. And tonight's special guest is going to be Peacekeeper with his Bosnia sit rep. But we'll get into that in the second part of the show. Right now, welcome to the Rant Radio Show, and you should know that you are free to distribute this broadcast any way you see fit. You're free to copy it and put it on tape, give it to people, and this one you may wish to give out to people, because we're actually going to be giving you the real fucking deal from a guy who just got back from Bosnia and spent the last 6 months running around and making sure, you know, that we know all that ethnic cleansing and that good shit. Because guess what? There's more than just Iraq happening in the world. There's a whole world of fucked up war to deal with. So we'll just make sure that you, by the end of tonight's show, you should have a pretty good grasp of just what the fuck is going on in Yugoslavia. Believe me, that's a pretty complex thing. Going through the RC tonight, people who managed to show up for the show, because the RC was all fucked up, and I can't believe that we actually got this many people here this fast, but that's not bad. I'm sure there'll be a lot more by the time the show is over. There's Book Kitty Fuck, which is probably Smokehouse. No, Smokehouse is someone else.
Book Kitty Fuck. I don't know who that is.
Boo Boo Kitty Fuck, Phonex, Misconduct, Huey Work, Shade, Shovel, Here's a Robot, Smokehouse, Snake, Pyro, African Love, Turtle, Alien Binary, Alan on Zero, Episode 36, Angelica, Zeroing Gun. I guess she fixed it. Angry Monkey, a Panther, Barcode, Blung, Case, Citizen, Sealy Dan, Commie, Syndicate, Copper Top, Delamorca, Doc, Digital Sewage, good fucking name, Dr. Zodiac, Duel, Enochian, Festity Penis, Flood Magic, G.I. Jill, I, that's me, all live in the, Kadath, hey, Kadath, how you doing, bud? Goatfucker just showed up, Kello, Kexler, Kindling, Boy, Leshek, Larn, Lentium, Lento, Lorax, Manuel, O'Kelly, Neuralize, Paladin, Prophet, Doodle, Psycho, Quip Away, Quicks Mix, Ratsputin, Rich, hey, Rich, glad to see you, buddy. Where was I? Gonna scroll down, fucker. Ricky Rocket, Rogue 3, Rumbling Sky, Rogue 3, you're hot. Rumbling Sky, Sideslide, Sure Dog, Skitty, Smoking Soldier, Southpaw, Samurai, Spudley, Starbaby, Stat, Stouty, Cheese, Beans, God, 1, Trample 9, Transistor, Turmoil, Tweak, RH9, Tide, Tyrex, Wee Wet, Too White. Okay, whatever. Wiggle Poppy, WS Ninja, Roller 1, Russia Paratrooper, Cool Links, D-Day Species, Lieutenant Major, Zombie. So very, very cool. Welcome to the show tonight.
65.
65? How many listeners we got?
65.
More than 65 listeners.
No. There's like echo in my voice.
There's like echo in your voice.
There we
That's
go.
Because you're that cool. You come
I'm
with
that
and
cool.
Echo. There's no After Effects done.
There's like 117
people.
You're
like ASI. You can like talk in two voices at the same time. Come on, you like it. Well, how'd you do that? That was really cool.
Echo.
Can you do that to me?
Like some reverb. Okay.
That's pretty cool.
Isn't it, though?
I wish I could do that in my life.
Just start screaming like everyone can hear you.
Oh, that'd be rad, because then all you got to do is, when you're in a checkup lineup and they go, I'm sorry, you have to give us your name, and I'll be like, I'm having a flashback. I know what's going on. Somehow I'm inside the barrel of this huge cannon. That's all right. I'll just ride around into the Scientology headquarters.
There's only one way. I should do this kind of shit in Tales from Aftermath. That'd be fucking right. Anyway.
Go into your head?
Yeah, I'll go. Well, wait for it. I'm going to be doing lots of other good stuff. But I don't want to give anything away. Tonight's show gets into more stuff to do with my head. That's right, Tales from the Aftermath. Following the Tonight Show. So
as always.
Following the Tonight Show with fucking...
With Sean Kennedy.
If you want to get into the RC tonight, in theory, when it's working properly... how do you do that, Sim?
Well, you can load up your favorite IRC client like MIRC, or you can get it at MIRC.com. We're not paid for that, but we'd like to be. And you can download it and go to the other side servers in the Rant Radio channel, or just go to the webpage, click on Community, and click on Chat. And the webpage is RantRadio.com.
Excellent, Smithers.
Mm.
So we still need your help.
We do, though.
And if you can help us with bandwidth, you can get in touch with Sumerian at info@rantradio.com.
You betcha.
And that's if you've got access to any fat bandwidth that you can steal from corporations because your dad owns it or whatever.
Because we need it.
Because we need that.
Because we have that many listeners.
Because people like me for some fucked up reason. I have no real idea, but people listen. So that's handy. And if you want to get in touch with Sim, you've got media, cool media pictures you do. Make sure you email those pictures to info@rantradio.com. And if you've got cool news links, you can give them to me at theman@rantradio.com. That's my name. I'm Sean Kennedy, and I'm the fucking man. I'm the host of your show with my trusty, sturdy co-host who actually makes me sound cool, Sumerian.
I make you sound cool sometimes.
Sometimes. Only sometimes. You got to warn me when you're going to do the echo thing. We got to get, like, that hand sign going, you know, echo.
Echo.
Echo. Yo. Yo, yo, yo.
It's just cheesy.
It is not cheesy. The whole fucking show's cheesy. The whole show's cheesy?
Show's cheesy.
No, Sean, you mustn't do that. No more organizations. But that's okay. I really don't give a fuck because I'm going to do what I can anyway. Shut up, you. That's the left side of my brain. I have no conscience.
I'm soon going to
destroy the world. Speaking of destroying the world, I got some feedback from people who I've helped destroy their reality. Here's feedback today, and I got this one from World War One Russian paratrooper. Very, very cool.
Uh-huh.
It goes like this. Had a damn annoying day, so I was getting home. Hey, maybe Sean would like to hear about what happened today. Thus, this is the result of my current not-thinking-straight, half-awake state. Of course... Myself, like many other people in my own little world, my ego is bigger than the fucking planet hell itself, so with a strange feeling deep down inside that today meant something, but next week I may say, what the fuck was I thinking? Who knows? Okay, it's like this. I was waiting for my bus in Halifax. Small background info. The transit system here is a joke. They pretend they actually are great, but they're half-assed put-together schedule. So after 10 minutes of waiting at the stop, I notice a protester wearing two big cardboard signs duct-taped together front and back. I can't remember what it said. I was clearly something anti-war. So the dumbass makes her way over to here and gives me this pamphlet of plans for a rally. Me being half awake in a muddle, and fold it and stick it between the holes of the bus stop pole. Bush is sending troops to murder innocents and civilians, you know, she says. Look, buddy, I'm half awake and I've had a tiresome day and I'm not in the mood for arguing. Don't you care that this very moment some innocent is being killed? After a long pause. Well, at this moment, I have no choice but to muster what energy I have left to deal with her. So, what? People die every day in wars, and I don't think you've even heard of. Add disease, starvation, and government silencing, and it's not big fucking news that people are dying. Oh, by the way, did you know this is Canada? Right. Since we're not going to war, A, and B, we're not drafting anyone, why the hell are you protesting? Because Bush is going in there for unjust reasons. Lottie fucking da. You want unjust? How about kids starving in a country some people can't pronounce? How about Morocco, where women, 50% of the population, is being used as slaves? How about the rise of corporatism and core political parties? Where the hell is your bleeding heart for people in Southeast Asian countries, where some have one in every two people are about to be infected by fucking AIDS? It's our free right to stand out and say what we think is wrong. True. This is not the 60s. The government has adapted. It's how the people do things. Protests do absolutely nothing and makes any difference. What you guys are doing is just a wasting your time from doing something actually constructive. Stop wasting your time. It's beginning to really irritate me. And it's sad. Doing something is better than nothing. At this point, I can no longer stand at her. I want to go back to my happy place. However, this wanker is blocking the road, so I'm about to dawn on her my other personality. It will no longer be this person, the lonely network technician. I'm about to reveal Durin. Not even Moses could get him away. Not even Moses could get away from him. Hello, I realized I was just standing here saying nothing, putting on some kind of evil smirk. Doing something is not always the best thing. Take Hitler, for example. Did he do something because he felt it was justified doing it? Are you any better? Sometimes doing nothing is the best thing to do. After all, public opinion is no longer owned by the public. It's now property at Live at 5 on CTV or some bullshit CNN thing. Thanks to them, people with something really to say, real to say, would look at you as nothing more than a sub-education urban who would thought she was smart by actually reading a book. Her eyes had this troubled look. She gazed around, somehow frightened, and maybe it was that I'm about to dropkick you and it's going to hurt look in my eyes, and moved along down the road. Now, as if one of those Hollywood moments, the bus pulls in. So now I'm awake and I got home, and I'm still feeling kind of that vibe from the incident. It would be hard falling asleep without getting it out of my system. This is probably the worst way I could think. If you're still reading this, you're probably thinking, does this have a point? Well, nothing you probably haven't dealt with. Just thought it would entertain you to show there are people like this on the other side of the coast. I don't know. It was a good thing now that I think of it, but I thought it was pretty damn entertaining just thinking about it. That's from World War I, Russian paratrooper.
Very entertaining.
I think it was very entertaining. More than that, it all just goes along with the small ability I have to demonically possess you from over distance. I think that's awesome, and I think people should stand up and use terms like core political to these little fucks that are really bad. As a matter of fact, down the street from me, I found a new coffee house, eh?
Yeah.
It's called Ethical Addictions.
Are they ethical?
Yeah, they are, actually. They support
fair trade coffee. They don't put animals in their blends?
No, they support fair trade coffee. Starbucks doesn't support fair trade, right?
Okay.
So there's these companies that do fair trade coffee where they pay a fair price for the coffee versus Starbucks who pay, like, fucking, they have to grow coffee at a loss.
Oh, okay.
And these guys, there's organizations that try to help South American countries grow coffee as an export.
Okay.
And that's what these guys do. And they buy coffee that's ethically, like, it's never been to Seattle. It's all fucking straight up shit. It's good coffee, too.
Yeah.
However, the place is littered with, like, anti-war hippies and shit like that, you know, who, not that I think war is a beautiful thing. All soldiers know war is really shitty. It's just that, you know, these people have no schmick whatsoever, and they hide behind communism thinking because it's an excuse for them to be lazy and have the government pay them to go to school and stuff. Anyway, so I'm in there, and they have this glass board in there.
Yeah.
Where you can write stuff. You just ask for markers, and you write
stuff. That's just dangerous.
Yeah, it is, because what I'm going to do is I'm going to put in a complete machine gunner's course on that board. I'm going to explain enfilade, defilade, fields of fire, beaten zone, fall of shot with lines and arrows, explaining military terms. I think it'll be really, like, it's
pretty
just going to make me giggle by the time it's done. Anyway, I got another piece of feedback from Australia, from G-Maniacs. The censorship that Ronan Manick experienced in Australia is probably ISP-based. I'm also in Australia, and I have no problem accessing any of the pages mentioned. The impression that the email that your brief discussion gave was that these websites are blocked from all Australians. I'd really like to know which ISP is using. I'm pretty sure our government-owned but fairly independent news media would be interested in this, too. So I don't know how he was doing that. I just got an email and I read it. Okay, so now I've read your email. Please don't start a flame war. More stuff. One from Manuel O'Kelly. Yes, it's true. It's funny how only after listening to you for a few months, I've been scared shitless for almost every show. So many people fighting for control, it makes me wonder if perhaps I should start my own little power struggle. I mean, hell, if they're going to be an authoritarian dictatorship, then why don't I lead it? However, I still think that there is hope. How the fuck do I fight this shit? I mean, a secret organization rooted in place before my parents were even born? Millions of ignorant, misinformed people who give new meaning to the ideas of Plato's cave? Disappearing, blacklist, and I mean, why did this happen? Did someone wake up one day and think, I think I'll rule the world. I think I'll create an organization that's the sole purpose is to serve my family. I'm pretty cool. I think the whole world would benefit from having me as their master. No, that's what I do. Who the fuck are they, and who the hell do they think they are? Get all the listeners to get me some info, and I'll give $1 million for equipment, and those fuckers have a bolt in their brains before you can say New World Order. Although I think there's still hope for peaceful solutions, so I think you should do a show on that. Peaceful democratic solutions to the coming New World Order. Let me read that again. Peaceful democratic solutions to the coming New World Order. By democratic, I mean a process which the whole world can act as a whole or a large group. Okay, well, that's not really democratic. That's more which world can act as a whole or as a large group. That's more, what's the word I'm looking for here? James, help me out. You don't know. If that fails, I'll attach my scope to my CX4 carbon and fuck shit up. Manuel O'Kelly. Well, let's talk about that. The coming New World Order. I'm not no matter how scared you guys are, I'm twice as fucking scared. Because try to imagine how much time I spend online checking this shit out. Okay?
Yes. Weeding out the stuff that doesn't make it to the show.
Yeah, there's a lot of shit that gets sent to me on the war that just one of these links I don't put up there. People like Sarah Goblin, Trotsky's Ghost, Soul Trance. These guys all send me links that are, any one of these links could make a whole show. You know what I mean? So I kind of can't really go that in depth a whole bunch on a lot of stuff. But it's getting to a point now where you really have to sit back and go, fuck, what are we going to do?
Right. You peaceful, warful. I mean.
Well, it's getting to a point now where, you know, how do I say this without really getting myself inundated with too much mail?
Isn't that the challenge every week, Sean?
Not really, no. Not really, no. But all bullshit aside, yeah, I'm fucking scared.
Uh-huh.
I'm really scared. I'm really, really, really scared. I mean, the Patriot Act 2 is coming to play. I mean, every single law that could be passed that would fuck us on our freedom has already been passed.
Yep.
We have nothing left. Really. I mean, I did Tales of the Afternow as a gag, and it was just something I thought up.
Stop making prophecies.
You know, and I was hoping, you know, it wouldn't go that far. I just sit down and think about what's the most extreme thing that could happen, and I just say it, and then, you know, it's starting to come true. And, you know, the really shitty thing, you know what the really shitty thing about leaders is? The really shitty thing about leaders is that leaders lead.
That's what they're there to
That's
do.
That's what they have to do. They have to make
the hard decisions.
And the thing that...
And
yeah,
it's
hard, you know? It's hard to sit back and go, you know, I got to do something about this. I really do. And it worries me. What the fuck is that sound? Oh, that's you. You came in the room. I didn't see you in the room.
Intruder!
Peacekeeper came into the room. But with his self-mad soldier skills, I didn't hear him. his elite soldier skills. But yeah, the fact remains is that... I mean, how much shit... Never mind all the... You know what I'm worried about right now? It's not the stuff we know about.
Yes.
It's the stuff that we don't know about.
And we know a lot of stuff. So what don't we know?
Well, there's
right?
a lot of shit that's, like, hidden in the background. Like, yeah. all this Patriot Act 2 and all that. That guy kind of snuck through and there was war in Iraq! And then they passed all these George Orwell laws.
Oh, yeah. That's the best excuse to sneak those in, right?
And
Distraction.
I'm really worried about stuff that's, you know, maybe coming to pass. Because it's usually the shit that we know about. It's not so bad. It's the stuff we don't know about that's even worse.
Now the stuff we know about is awful.
The stuff we know about is fucking cataclysmically horrible.
Yes.
So how the fuck worse can it get? And I can think of some pretty nasty shit. You know what I mean? Like, Do you know why people go to protests? Do you know why people go to protests? I'll tell you why.
To be with their fellow protesters.
No. Desperation. They don't know what else to do. I mean, it's broad that this guy here just jacked up, right?
Yeah.
Fucking, she wants to do something, but I mean, what's her choices? She's got no choices.
And she doesn't seem focused. It's like, we've got to do something.
We've got to do something, Christ, we've got to do something.
What?
You know?
Right?
Well, what are we going to do? We need someone somewhere to maybe. Start something that's going to give them
Maybe
something.
My sign held in the air, my one sign extra will actually push it over the edge.
Yeah.
But
so what you need...
Doesn't.
What you need is someone with a militant mindset, with revolutionary capabilities, who's got an option to be able to speak, lead, gather people, reach people on multiple continents through small radical cells, to put together some kind of an organization that would be used, that couldn't be destroyed on a terrorist basis, yet would slowly motivate people through individual means to alter their own lives so that they could, you know, destroy the machine.
Tell us, who is this mystery man?
I don't know. I have no idea. Moving right along in the story. Hey, Sean, I guess I should clear some things up. The cartoon I'm working on, now this is from Blunk, as everyone was talking about. He was going to do an anime show, and he wanted to make me a cartoon character.
Okay.
Anyway, I guess I should clear some things up. The cartoon I'm working on right now is the actual animated series films. It's sort of a Heavy Metal or Wizards about the without the money or the talent. There's going to be some Flash animations on the web. The majority of it is old school Disney film or anime OVA vein. Anyways, I have a question for you regarding the Log Armor. I'm kicking around a few basic themes as far as that goes. Something in the Jinro style or a hulking juggernaut of doom or maybe even more individual style, kind of like Geiger meets medieval forest sprites with animal skulls and demonic overtones. No suit, two suits are the same. Anyways, just curious about what you picture Power Armor looking like. I've given this a lot of thought.
Yeah.
My particular brand of Power Armor is based largely like this. The Power Armor works with people operating in the fetal position. They use their hands and feet to control it. Their hands are in control. They're inside of a steel ball. And that steel ball is somewhat bioroid. Think of the bioroids from Robotech. Mm-hmm. Okay? The rest of it all works. It's kind of piloted. Most of the droids, you have droids that the infantry ones are similar. You have sniper units. You have heavy artillery ones. You have ones that call in and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
I've given that a lot of thought.
Right.
So they're kind of, if you're going to go for something, go for anime. Go for anime bioroid sort of look, but not so blocky a feet. Go imagine as if the guys who did Ghost in the Shell made a bioroid, and that's your inspiration for
okay.
that bitch. Okay. So you don't
have... Not so robot.
Yeah, it's not really...
Not extreme
now,
robot.
Now,
right?
If it's power armor,
yeah.
Okay, then it's going to be a bioroid. But I don't believe that mecha, if you're going to have a power armor, it would probably not be... like. I like the idea of being fetal inside of a unit. I like a lot of battle pod designs, like Ed-209 with a guy inside of it.
Yeah.
I like that sort of design, and I think that... in order for any battle droid to actually be effective, it'd have to be less than 15 feet tall. It'd have to be rather small so that it doesn't give a pronounced...
Small target.
Small target, not yeah. so pronounced on the horizon.
Yeah.
And if you can get it less than 8 feet tall, you know, as an individual power armor, so to speak, because you got to be able to get inside buildings and shit.
Right.
Just a thought there. Also, we got an answer on that Linux versus Microsoft rant I did. The song in the background, remember that? The guy phoned up and said, hey,
right.
or...
That was last week I was brought up, right?
Yeah, yep. yeah. The song in the background is Home by Econoline Crush. That's the name of the song.
I can't remember who requested that, but they'll know.
I don't know, but they've been listening tonight. Yeah. If they don't, fuck them. They should have listened.
That's right.
Okay. Now, there's a guy who sent me this mail, and I was... Smokehouse sent me another mail about this and everything like this. Okay, Sean. I foolishly decided to make a Tales from the Afternow Battlefield mod for Battlefield 1942. And now I'm telling you this for several reasons. One, you made the Afternow, and I believe you should be informed. Two, you'll probably go hog wild, wake up my roommate, and shout about how cool it is. Three, I need to help getting people with artistic abilities. And four, why the hell not? Okay, so that's my spiel. I've been in operation. I base my operations at www.ciagamers.com. It's under the forums under Battlefield 1942. Yeah, I think that's about it. Keep this shit coming. Okay, so on that. Now, there's music in the background of Tales from the Afternoon. None of that music I have permission to use. Okay, so if I get sued for it, which all they'll do is they'll give me a cease and desist order. Okay, that's what they do. They won't just out and out sue me because I'm not making any money from it.
They'll sue you for, I don't know.
Nothing. They'll just go, stop that! And I'll go, okay, because I've got no fucking grounds at all. You know what I mean? Like, I try to use shit from Japan and stuff that, you know, what the fuck? You better stop that around me! I cut your fucking throat out! Oh, shit, man. Chris Igaro's fucking pissed. Anyway, so, you know... You know, I don't want to. Like, if the guys from Jinro show up at my house, that's fucking it. Oh fuck, Wolfpack. You guys are here because of the whole the Afternow thing, aren't you? You gonna shoot me? Okay, I'm gonna stop now. Okay, right on. Thanks. Bye. You guys want a Coke? Anyway, so yeah. If you want to do that, fill your boots. Anything that promotes Afternow, I think is great. I'm very much complimented by that. I mean, that's fucking huge. But you know, there's a good chance that if it gets really big, it's gonna get canceled. It's all gets sued. In the general news, space transplants are possible within the next year. Now we talked about this a while back, but within the next 6 to 9 months, you could be wearing someone else's face. Yeah, the CIA applications for this are just fucking brutal. Peter Butler, a plastic surgeon with the London's Royal Free Hospital, today. Okay, I don't want anyone who works for London Royal's Free Hospital to fucking be doing facial transplants. Okay?
Oh, just come on in here. We
come
got an opening.
Hey, you homeless guy, come here. I'm gonna make you look like Helen Keller. With today's president, a report from the British Association of Plastic Surgeons that says that face transplants could be possible within the next year, and calls for moral and ethical debates to take the place before one does. This is a moral and ethical debate in England, where they have no Bill of Rights, and they got cameras everywhere. What do you suppose that's
I didn't think they had morals in England.
Not in
they
England, no.
They just go ahead
no.
and do
we declare war on everyone, and nobody here can cook. You want morals and ethics in England? Try eating some of their food. It is not, can we do it, he told the BBC, but should we do it? Well, learn to cook first. Currently, the patients with serious facial disfigurements due to disease or accidents only have partial treatments available. What? And take away their career in the circus? It's the morale and ethical debate that needs to be raised in public to find a way that the issues would be that are in need to be addressed to make this possible, he says. While people would, in general, accept a face transplant if they require it, they would actually not be willing to donate.
Yeah.
Well, just take them off dead people. Especially
pass
little
on
kids.
Your face.
That'd be rad. So, like, some 6-year-old's got, like, leukemia in her face, you know, all craters out and shit. and then the other one gets hit by a bus. And then, you know, the mom, after she just gets over the death, walks down the street, and they see, like, Mommy, Mommy! And the kid with her daughter's face goes running by and shit.
Oh,
that way she can keep tabs on her and stuff and see how she grows and develops, what her own daughter would be like, and eventually be, like, kidnapping her and handcuffing her walls in her basements and, like, tell her name's different, make her dressing.
That would make great movies, you know.
Yeah, well, you know, that's what I do here. It's about the love, you know? It's all about the love.
It's all about passing the love around.
And if you don't think facial transplants right now are happening, I think they are. I give you Metallica. They used to be cool. Then all of a sudden, they turn into these anti-fucking piracy cockjaws.
That's right. The original Metallica was then killed.
They cut their faces. Then they cut their hair.
Yep.
How in the fuck is, like, it possible that Metallica, man, Metal Music Vodka, Metallica,
yep,
how did they cut their hair?
Must be face plastic.
And when they said, Metallica said, metal is dead.
Cut their hair, sued their fans. What's going on? Huh?
Metallica!
Huh?
If you were a governmental unit that wanted to experiment with this facial reconstruction surgery... Somebody out there, what happened to the real Metallica? Are they wandering around right now with somebody else? Maybe they got no face.
Yeah,
now, that'd be something. Get Lars Ulrich on surfing, you know, doing Unforgiven with this fucking, the guy's face from that movie. What fucking movie was that? Hannibal. The guy with the bad prosthetics there in the chair. Well, I don't really know, you know. I think it's probably just, you know, anytime me, Unforgiven. You know, is that what it's going to be? I want to know. There's some shit going on there. Furthermore, what about George Bush? What about him? Not going to do it. It's a little scary, man. It's a little scary. In other news, humanitarian relief. Aid rations, United Nations warned Wednesday that our humanitarian food rations are now being handed out by coalition forces in Iraq, have yellow wrapping, the same color as bomblets being dropped, which could mean the death for children who confuse the two. Well, if they can't tell the difference between a bomblet that's wrapped in yellow and a food ration given to them by a guy with a big red cross, I call that natural selection. There's the link for that shit.
Mm.
Besides, they're Iraqis. Who gives a fuck? We're killing them wholesale anyway. What do you think, Sean? What? What? Sean, we're harpooning the shit out of those people. No, I mean, fuck, man. They're raining all kinds of hell on them.
It's true. Yeah.
I mean, and you're pissed off about some yellow wrapping paper? I'd be pissed off about the multi-billion dollar warhead we got slamming into schools. Shit. Yes, we're declared war on Iraq. It's fucking horrible and it's immoral.
It's awful.
And they're wrapping up food rations in yellow paper.
Well, if they're that stupid, they should just wrap them up in Christmas wrapping paper and drop bombs that way.
They should make bombers look like little stuffed teddy bears. The kids would be like, ah, da, 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 da. How about the death squads in South America that pay $50 a head for each kid you kill? How about that one? I know, because I got offered to go down there and work for it. And I almost did it, too. I almost did it. This was back.
How much could you make in a day?
I think the first one would be really hard.
What kind of opposition do you have?
None. The government pays you. It's paid for the government.
Oh.
The government pays death squads to go around and kill all these kids because these kids fuck up the tourist trade. You know, like, crippled kids, you know, fucking tourists, you know, getting a good tan. Doesn't want to be bothered by this fucking disfigured little faggot, right?
He's just, like, annoying, begging
outside
of the Starbucks,
get away from me,
right?
You filthy little beggar! They don't like that shit. So they were paying people to go in. And I thought about doing
it. So it's basically a street cleaner job, then. Right.
Well, yeah, you walk around. I think the first one would be really hard. The first little, you know, right? The first one would be very difficult.
Right.
But after the first two or three, you'd be driving around with an ice cream cart and stuff. I mean, on a good day, you can make a few grand.
You just invite them in, eat while you drive, right?
You know? But Jesus!
Pull them
not
into the back
fucking,
of a dark
not this yellow fucking wrapping paper. What do you got to add to this, Sam? What do you got in the, any feedback at all?
Oh, okay, yeah.
What do you got? What do you got
I
for
got
me?
Some stuff. Let me just load it up here. We have some representation at the Electronic Entertainment Expo 2003.
What is it?
Two guys from one of our shows, Quarter Circle Forward.
No, it can't be two guys. We need a chick with big tits and a low-cut top.
Sorry, we don't have any.
Fuck.
Not this year.
Bullshit, Rogue Tree's got big tits.
But they're going to go cover the event under the guise of Rant Radio.
Oh, really?
Little Rant Radio monikers on their chest and go,
what's up,
we are from Rant. Name, Mon. I don't know.
Monocles?
Monocles,
they
yes.
They got Colonel fucking Clink with big tits. So, okay. We get
so that, there you go.
What if they dress as women? That'd be fucking rad. A couple of drag queens? That'd be awesome.
That would. Put on some really high
heels
there.
It's a Rant Radio drag queens to suck off the fucking Microsoft guys. And then they realize that they're men and they're like, oh, God, they feel all dirty and have to quit Microsoft. I thought it was a woman.
What did we do?
I could tell it wasn't a woman. She had a hairy chest. I'd never seen a woman before. I didn't know. Shut up. Fucking bitch, you liked it. You always knew it was a man.
Soul Trance is asking a question. He's been looking for somewhere local to get some combat boots.
I already answered that question. Local to get combat boots is you go to 3 vets. You go down, you look for high-tech magnums. They range in price anywhere from $70 to $110. Very good boot. I wore them when I went to go join the French Army.
He was wondering about Dave's Army Surplus. He can't find it. The website's gone or whatever.
Yeah, like, we're having problems with the domain. Dave's Army Surplus is on... Fucking,
have they moved from New West?
I think it's on... No, they're still down there. Was it on 10th? Where is it? Do you know what the address is there? 10th and McBride? Fucking do a search.
Phone them up.
Phone them. Ask for Martin. Tell him Sean Kennedy sent you. Okay? And he'll fucking set you up. Anyway. But yeah. So either that... You can either go through Martin, which has got all the groovy shit, or if you just want to go down to 3 vets, you can do that too. But Martin's a better bet.
So there's some hookups.
He's the guy where I did all the review of their kit, and he's actually getting really good shit. So if you're not in a rush, go through Martin. It's the best way to go.
And I got an email from 914, if that's a name. I really like your station. Found it off this page, blah, 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 some months ago, and I've been sucking up quite a decent bit of your bandwidth. In fact, Rant Raid has inspired me to connect the computer audio to my actual stereo system.
Wow.
The 128K stream is good, and I like the music format, etc. Anyway, why am I writing you? Because I've been looking all over your site for a donate button or some such. Don't you have a PayPal address?
Tales from the After Now. Go to Tales from the After Now. Click on donate. That's where you go.
Don't you have a PayPal address or a few bucks?
No, we only have Tales from the After Now.
Yes.
Give me the money, fucker.
I can't offer a mirror. My own BW bandwidth bill is pretty steep, but I'm sure you can use some help for paying for what you do have. Also, I noticed you couldn't replace your server if it really died, because we had a problem a little while back.
That's right. Yeah,
where the power supply actually did die.
Did you set up a PayPal button? Is this what this is going to?
No, I didn't.
Oh, okay.
Everyone
email Sim if you think we should set up a PayPal donation.
Well, I've gotten lots of emails.
Do you?
Yeah.
Are you going to do it?
Yeah.
Attaboy!
Because if the server does die...
You're fucked.
I am fucked. I'd be like... Oh, well, it's not there anymore. That was fun.
That was fun? Don't be fucking stupid.
For the sake of, like, a couple bucks, there'd be no RAM radio, right?
Yeah, so, yeah, go do that.
So he's like, if that box dies, you'll have no way to let people know that you need help.
Because I'm not giving them any money. And Tales of the After Now,
we don't have money.
Yeah, we don't have no money. But, well, you know, I had, like, a couple people donate.
And it says, if it were me, I'd try to build up a reserve of cash to cover such a disaster. So, at the very least, there's one appreciative listener who'd give a toss to the hat if you had one. Cheers. So, there you go.
So, you're going
to
do it?
Yeah.
Attaboy! Good for you. Make the Rant Radio Sludge fun for all the Black Ops.
That's right. Just in case.
And that way it'll be tax-free.
That's right. So, that's all I have there.
What do you got as halftime music?
I got nothing.
Are you fucking serious? You have no halftime music? Because I promise you, we're going to have some halftime music.
Okay.
Can you stall, or
can you think of some stuff?
I want to hear some KMFDM. I'd like to hear Nihil by KMFDM, because somebody requested that.
Okay.
And Nihil, whatever, fucking Nihil.
Nihil!
Not Nihil. It's German. You don't know shit.
Oh, great. How do you spell that? N-I...
Shut up. Oh, I'm arguing with peacekeepers. Everybody shut up. They're like, who's he talking to? Do you have any Spock kicking around? All ETs aren't nice.
I probably do have that one, actually.
Do you?
So what we can
Spock,
do is start off
ETs
with that.
All ETs aren't nice.
Yep.
And then something really hard as well. We'll have 3 songs. We'll have
okay.
Something really hard. Something that just fucking punches you in the face and lets you stick on the curtains. we played that one like just recently. Yeah, so we can't do that one. Oh, what do we got by Hellstyle local?
Well, I can look that up as well.
Okay,
let me find at least one song here.
Spock, fucking hang
out. How do you spell Nihil? I-L. Okay,
there
we go.
It's not Nihil, it's Nihil.
And Nihil. Oh, Dr. McCoy keeps coming up, but still searching for Spock.
How annoying. Okay, well, let's talk about other things.
Yes, please.
Let's
continue
talk
on.
About... It must be kind of scary right now, you know, because I've had a lot of people emailing me. Talking about, you know, wanting to do stuff, wanting to, you know, organize and...
Is Nihil an actual song, or is that an album?
That's an album.
Okay.
But,
I'll just download something from there.
Yeah, we got actually permission from KMFDM to play their stuff anyway. So
I think we do.
Yeah, we do.
Yeah, we do.
It's from
their
record label.
That's right. We rock.
We do rock. We rock hard. We're non-stop. We're like the Beastie Boys. who rocked the bells and were, you know, way out of control. We're like Quasimodo with a fucking drum machine. I wonder what actually, if you ever gave those Kodo drummers a drum machine, I think that would kind of lose some of its effect. You know, it just wouldn't work. But, it must be difficult for everybody out there in the world right now to be looking around and seeing all the shit that's going on. They want to do something. They desperately want to do something. But you got to be very, very careful. You got to be very careful with any organization that you ally yourself with. Now, listen up to what I'm saying to you right now. Right now, there's going to be a lot of people that are going to want to exploit the fact that you're upset. They'll say, join me. Come with me and do these protests. Okay? You got to be careful with that shit. Because you'll wind up getting caught up in a mob mentality that'll land you in the slammer and put you on a terrorist database. I'm not saying that you got to, you know, if you want to be a revolutionary has got to be wise. Not only courageous, but wise. Because if he's not courageous, he will wind up getting killed. And he can't allow himself to be killed, because if he gets killed, well, the revolution dies. So not only do you have to be courageous, but you have to be wise. I'm fully ripping that off.
Yes.
But I can't remember who originally said that, but it was a black leader who said that.
Yeah, it's sampled a lot.
Yeah, it's sampled
a lot. But I mean,
but it's very, very true. There's a lot to be said there, okay? So in this stage of the game, we're getting to the point where you got to bear in mind, okay, you know, Afghanistan, if you look at the history, you had the Mujahideen, which is a bunch of half-assed mountain boys with a bunch of turbans on their heads and some World War II weapons, taking on the Russian war machine who had some very state-of-the-art shit, okay? And they fucking fought the Russians to a standstill. Basically, they fucked off. Which means that no matter what happens, you can, in fact, fight back. It becomes a question of tactics. And the tactics that are currently being employed by these protesters, these anti-war freaks or whatever, because they don't follow any militant plan. They don't understand what they're doing. They don't understand the nature of the beast. And so, they're useless. They're fucking wasting your time. So don't ally yourself with some group that's all they're going to do is do some kind of moral term of masturbation and have you waving a sign around and all it's going to achieve doing is get you in the slammer and set you up with a record. All right? You want to be careful with what you do. And if you want to do something, if you want to do something, there is something you can do, because there's only one thing that you have control over. And no matter who, what anybody tells you, no matter what cult blackmail tells you, no matter what anybody tells you, okay, there's only one thing that you have control over, and that is yourself. Period. End of list. You control you. And a lot of us don't even control ourselves. A lot of ourselves, we just allow ourselves to be programmed. If you don't program yourself, sure as fuck somebody else is going to do that for you. So if you want to do that, if you want to fight back, what you got to do, buddy, is go get your ass a library card and start to read. And I don't mean fucking Tom Clancy. I mean get yourself into, like, some serious nonfiction shit. Get yourself in the political science section. Start learning, man. Start checking out history. Start getting an understanding of what's really going on in the world around you. Get an understanding of political science. Don't take arts in school. Take something practical. Friends don't let friends take arts. You got to take something that's going to get you a fucking job. You got to make sure that what you're doing actually has purpose and function, rather than allow yourself to be distracted by some masturbatory overtones used by some corporate political media. You can't let that happen. You got to stay focused. You got to figure out who the fuck you are and where you're going and who's coming with you in that order. If you don't know who you are, then figure out where the fuck you're going and who's coming with you. But don't get that order fucked up. Because too many people do, and they wind up getting themselves in some bad shit. And it doesn't take long to make up a lot of bad mistakes that wind up, you know, screwing you for the rest of your life. Listen to what I'm telling you. I know of which I speak. It only takes a few fucking weeks, man. It's a few weeks with a credit card and you're fucked. You wind up being part of the wage slave state because you bought things you couldn't afford to impress people you don't even fucking like. So just be really, really cool. And if you don't know what to do, stand back. Get a hold of some books and do some reading. Are we loaded?
Yeah, people are also begging for Photoshop.
Oh, right. They're like, completely forgot about Photoshop.
Where's the Photoshop? We have nothing to do.
I'm sorry. I got something
for you. Sitting on chairs.
We're sitting here doing fuck all. You slack and idle bastards. But we will have this week's Photoshop now. Nixter got in touch with me, and he wants to put out a Tales from the After Now shirt, which some of the proceeds go to me. So I'm all about that because, you know, give me money. And you know, the specs for this design, so we need a design to put on Tales from the After Now shirt. Now, there's two links from here that we're going to post in the IRC right now that are the colors. Now, you can only use three. It will need to be three colors, two colors plus the shirt color. Okay, so it can't be more than three colors. and try to get them to make it. This is what he writes me here. Try to get them to make it an Adobe Illustrator also. So we're getting real specific here. When we do the silk screen on T-shirts, you'll want to stay away from blurs and faded colors. And here's the two links for the colors you can go with. But we're looking for designs or shit you can do for Tales from the After Now. If you want to do like Server Monk thing or whatever, like for a hoodie. Because I personally think a hoodie for Tales of the After Now would probably be the most appropriate. All right, so that's your Photoshop. Go hard. Sim, are we ready to go with the music?
We are ready to go with the music.
Cue the music.
So we've got some Hell Sow, and I don't know if they're good because, well...
Yeah, you do. They're in Vain. They're the guys who did the Master remix.
No, not Hell Sow themselves, but these songs.
Okay, well, fuck them. Play it.
Okay.
Thank you. once upon a time, sitting at a time, thought about my past, I thought I'd walk a line. But when the teacher came, I saw it was a day. Cause when he said it, I had nothing really to say. I told him to stay away, I told him yesterday. I wanted a good thing, I'm gonna find my way. When you hear the sound, you see me coming around. But I'm almost there, your man, I hit the ground. This is what I'm saying twice. I'm
sometimes wonder what it is about guys that makes them have to pick at scabs and sores and stuff. You ever wonder that? Like, you know, every guy has, like, looked in the mirror and saw something on his face that he probably shouldn't fuck with. You know, and he goes after it with a rusty pair of pliers. You know, I don't understand what it is.
There's an aberration on my body.
Quickly, I will cut it out with a fucking flamethrower.
Be gone!
I'm that way right now. I'm fucking with this little scab on my finger. And it hurts whenever I poke it. But for some reason, it gives me this like impression like I'm doing battle with it.
Maybe that's it.
I don't know why people do that.
It is you against it.
And that's a segue into today's interview. Why do people do the things they do, like Yugoslavia? Why did that happen exactly? A lot of people hear a lot of people talk about former Republic of Yugoslavia and Bosnia and, you know, bombs and all that kind of shit, landmines, all that sort of stuff. But not a lot of people know about what is going on tonight. And tonight I got a good buddy of mine. Well, not really. I kind of know the guy. And,
You fucking hate him, right?
Well, yeah, but shut up. And, this is Peacekeeper here tonight. Not Ronan Syriot. This is Peacekeeper.
Don't get confused.
Don't get confused. Talking about Bosnia, because no word of a lie, all bullshit aside. Oh, well, I'm going to take your microphone. Look at this. I'm transitioning. I wonder if that actually showed up. tonight... Just got back on Monday. We just picked him up, and he just actually got back from being on the ground, actually dealing with a really war-torn nation of Bosnia. He spent the last fucking 6 months there dealing with people, seeing it real firsthand. So tonight on the show, there's not often you get a chance to get somebody who spent 6 months on the ground, who knows something about conflict, who studied conflict for the better part of their lives, more than half their lives. And this guy got a chance to actually be there on the ground, deal with the people hands-on, get the real deal, the real scoop about what's going on in Yugoslavia, and we're able to pass it on to you guys so that by the end of tonight's show, I want you people to have a pretty good understanding about what's happening. And no word of a lie, Peacekeeper is a good buddy of mine, and I'm pretty proud of the guy that he was over there and was doing that. And whether or not you agree with what's going on, I mean, that's a pretty significant thing. So I'm really glad that you just agreed to come down here and do this, because quite probably you'd go to jail for it. Say hello.
Hello, everybody.
Yeah, hello, everybody. So I suppose I should interview you. Let's pretend I'm a retard, and I know nothing about Yugoslavia. What actually happened in Yugoslavia? Like, what's the fucking score there?
You're looking for, like, the dummies guy's boss.
Yeah, like, what happened there? Like, okay, where is it right off the top?
Yugoslavia is part of the, it is now the large Balkan nation area.
Okay.
Basically southeastern Europe, for lack of a better term.
So, like, what's around it?
What's around it? Well, let's see. The Balkans, as we know them, and as I was concerned with it, was Croatia, Bosnia-Herzegovina, and basically Serbia. We're the Kingdom of Serbia right now, which is actually all used to be part of the Federal Republic of Yugoslavia.
Okay, so what happened there? Like, when did it go from... Because there was an Olympics there not too long ago, wasn't there?
That was 84?
So in 1984, it went from being, you know, this company that... This country that hosted the Olympics...
In Sarajevo, which I traveled to.
In Sarajevo, to... Now it's like uber fucked.
Yes.
So what happened there? How did that happen?
Things really went south and took a downward slide at the death of Marshal Tito.
Who is Marshal Tito?
Marshal Tito was the glue of that country. He was a partisan leader during World War II who basically fought off all the German and the Nazi occupation throughout that part of the world.
So he's pretty much a badass then.
Yeah, actually, he was actually officially recognized as the partisan leader and the de facto government when the Allies were trying to subjugate the area, basically kick the Nazis out of there.
So is he like a dictator, so to speak?
He was, actually.
He was a dictator, but everyone seems to honor this guy.
Yeah, actually, even now when you go through a lot of the homes and schools, you'll find pictures of him up on the walls, and people pay a lot of homage to him because he's a very powerful leader, and he kept that country together, man. He kept three distinct groups of people who were essentially at each other's throats all the time, living together more or less in harmony. I mean, to put it in a Canadian context, look how many problems that we've had with the French, and that's only like the English-French sort of problems.
So I'd be imagining, like, say there was the French in equal populace to the natives, to the English-speaking Canadians, and everybody's all got guns and pointing them at each other in an area of
huge
the size
distrust,
of BC.
And yeah, it's pretty rough. Most Bosnian people don't really understand what the conflict was about.
Wow, so, that's brutal.
Yeah, so having them try to explain it to me and getting it from different viewpoints all over the place was pretty interesting. pretty interesting.
No doubt. So anyway, so what happened to this Tito guy?
Okay, Tito eventually died, as most people do. And
so he stops it.
Yeah, he stops breathing, and the country really takes a slide at that point. That's where you get the ultra-nationalists of the different factions. Predominantly, again, dealing with the ethnic backgrounds of people, the Serbians, the Bosniaks, as we'll call them, the Muslims, and then the Croatians. The Serbians, by and large, were the largest ethnic population there, so they had the majority.
So hang on, let me just make sure I'm getting this straight here. We got area of land, three gangs. We got the Serbs, Muslims, and the who?
The Croatians.
So we got Croats, Serbs, and Muslims.
Right.
Okay. So everybody's all cool. Tito checks out. Everybody goes, fuck you, we're going to run this bitch. And they all get the really hard-line motherfuckers of each group decide, no, we have control, we have control, we have control.
That's right.
On all three fronts.
Exactly. And basically the majority of the people in government had the good-paying jobs at that time and were in the positions of power with the Serbians.
Oh, so Serbs had the upper hand.
Right from the get-go.
Right from the get-go. So they're like, Serbs in the house.
That's right. Serbs dominated the government, dominated the military, all the rest of it.
So what happens next?
So what happens next is actually the Croatians are seeing that a lot of their money that was going through their part of the Republic at that time, because they were still together.
Yeah, because they're paying taxes and shit.
Exactly. Well, all the money that they're contributing to the country isn't coming back into Croatia or the Croatian part of Yugoslavia.
So they're fuck?
It's going to Belgrade, and all their money is going to the Serbian people. At the same time, a lot of the other minorities, such as the Muslim people that had low power jobs within the government and that type of thing, the Croatians were in the same boat. They started getting kicked out of their positions. And Serbian people were starting to be given the positions of power.
So the Serbs are like, yeah, well, now we're going to do full coup, and we don't have all pretenses are gone, so we're just going to Serbs are taking over the government.
Yeah, exactly.
And they're saying, fuck the Croats and fuck the Muslims.
That's right. And the Croatians were actually the first ones to say, no, we've had enough, we're leaving, thank you very much.
Really? So they just said, fuck you, we're out of here.
Well, exactly. Now, from a geographical point, the Croatian countryside, or coast, I should say, was the point of entry. Basically, it is right on the Adriatic coast. So all the ports and trade that were coming into Yugoslavia came in via the Dalmatian coastline.
Which comes in through Croatia.
Exactly.
So if they fuck off, they're going to do a dune thing, and he who has a control of the thing or can destroy a thing controls it. So they're like, no, we've got all the balls here. We're just going to fuck off, take your coastline, and that bitches your trade.
Exactly. So now, Serbia, Belgrade, and the greater kingdom thereof is now all landlocked, and they have no port access whatsoever.
That kind of spells fucked.
Yeah, exactly.
So the Serbs are like, no, we need those ports, bitch.
Exactly, and civil war erupts.
Right.
So now, during this time...
So that's why they didn't let him go. Because the Croats are like, fuck you, we're leaving, you're not doing shit for us. We don't like you, you're fucking us, we're just going to take off and keep the ports, because then we're going to start our own trade. And Serbia goes, no, we need your ports, don't be fucking around, it's on.
Exactly.
Okay.
So, now, at the same time all this is going on, two other countries break away from the Republic of Yugoslavia, that being Macedonia and Slovenia.
So Macedonia and Slovenia go, why'd they break away?
They realized what was happening with the Croatians, and they foresaw the same problems happening with their own communities. Macedonia went, no, we're not having any of this. Thanks very much for stepping off stage right. And Slovenians went, thanks, we're not having any of this. We're stepping off stage left. Now, the Macedonians got away cleanly. The Slovenians were actually one of the first countries to be engaged by the Serbian army, the JNA at the time.
So the guys who broke away clean, the Macedonians, they probably didn't have fuck all that Serbia wanted.
Quite predominantly. The Macedonians are like a third poor country.
Go ahead, take your ball and fuck off. We don't need you.
Yeah, exactly.
But, so they left.
Yeah, now the Serbian parliament and the government didn't want the country in the fragment. And so they went, Slovenia, we're coming after you. Well, that lasted
Why'd they go after Slovenia, do you know?
Well, historically, wars are fought always over two things, which is land and resources. Plus, think about it, okay? We're part of Canada here. Quebec wants to go and separate. How many people are all for that? Yeah, okay, because Quebec fucks off and all the rest of it. Be gone, French people. But they're taking, a good chunk of the country with them.
Oh, I see. So Macedonia didn't take that big of a chunk, but these other dudes are going to take a real chunk.
Yeah, Slovenia, I mean, it's not a big country, but it's...
But it's like, hey, man, if everybody fucks off, we're done. So we'll let the Macedonians go.
Yeah.
And these guys got some other shit, so we're going to just lace each of those assholes.
Yeah, well, the Slovenians didn't really deal with that too well, and they handed the Serbs their ass after, 5 days.
And really? So the Serbs went in there, and the Slovenians were like, fuck you?
Yeah, exactly.
And mopped them in 5 days.
Yeah, so the Serbians kind of went, leave well enough alone, you can have your little piece of the pie, we'll go after the Croatians now.
Wow, that's very Israeli of them.
Yeah, exactly.
So they must be pretty badass then.
I imagine so. They were really nice when I traveled through there and talked to everybody.
Okay, so we got Macedonians fucked off.
Yep.
Who was the other guys just fucked off?
Slovenians.
Slovenians fucked off.
Yep.
The Serbians go, no, you can't fuck off.
To the Croatians.
No. Because the first they go for 5 days, right? Then they go to the Slovenians. Mm-hmm. Fuck, these names are crazy. So the Serbians go after Slovenians. Slovenians go, fuck you. No, fuck you. And the Slovenians go, whack, fuck you. Punch them hard in the face. And they're like, okay, we'll fuck off then. And then decide, okay, we're going to go after the Croatians.
That's
because
right.
They're the guys with the coastline.
That's right.
Okay, so here we are. So two of the chunks of the country fuck off. Serbians go, right, fuck you, whack. Okay, well then fuck you. And they go off the Croatians. Now what?
Right. So this is where like the bulk of the civil war starts in between Croatia and the Serbians at that time.
Okay.
Also, along in that mess, to complicate things further,
Jesus,
Bosnia-Herzegovina has a vote of secession and is internationally recognized now as an independent country.
Whoa. Who the fuck are these guys?
This is the greater chunk of the Serbian kingdom or the federal...
So another chunk of their neighborhood goes, no, we're an independent nation now.
Right, and Bosnia is situated basically between Serbia and Croatia, to put it in...
Oh, great.
Yeah.
So the guys who live between the two warring neighborhoods go, no, we're our own nation now, fuck you.
Yeah, exactly. If anybody wants to look at what the actual ground looks like or the map looks like, go do a Google search for, Yugoslavia right now and see where the borders are.
What if we had a war and everything got fucked up?
Yeah, exactly.
So essentially the area that would be the battlefield went, no, we're in our own nation now, fuck you.
Yeah.
Great.
So now, sort of to back it up a little bit further, Canada and the UN, I should say, their original mandate was to separate the two warring factions between Croatia and Serbia.
Which means that we would have wound up in Bosnia to keep Croatia and Serbia apart.
Yes, exactly, because at the time, Bosnia was a neutral country.
Right,
right.
Right.
Headquarters for the UN and the Canadian contingent was in Sarajevo.
Which is in Bosnia.
That's right, it's the capital.
Right.
Okay. And then Sarajevo becomes a hotbed of activity as Bosnia erupts in a civil war because the Muslims don't want, or the Serbs don't want the Muslims to break away. And there's Serbians all over the country, and they're forming their own little states within a state. The Serbian kingdom is trying to support these independent states of Serbia, these enclaves, and things.
So
just
basically,
go
everyone's like, everybody's going, "Oh fuck!" And everyone's like, "No, I'm in control. No, I'm in control." And it just deteriorates from there.
Croatians are fighting Muslims. Muslims are fighting Croatians. There's alliances between the Croatians and the Muslims against the Serbs. Serbs are fighting everybody. It's an absolute mess for 5 years.
5 years. Now, during that 5 years, is this like...
About 3 years, pardon me.
Okay,
years.
Now, is this constant fighting, or is this like Beirut-level fighting, or is this like, an occasional shot fired?
No, this is pretty nasty, Oliver. I was lucky enough to travel through the entire Canadian AOR of Bosnia.
What's AOR?
Area of Operations.
Oh, okay.
So, and that was actually on the west coast of Bosnia. So
okay.
State, right, the western border of Bosnia, even though it wasn't really a coastline. So I got to travel north to south throughout there. And let me tell you, I didn't see one single town that was not affected some way by the war. See engraves on the sides of roads, buildings that were destroyed, burned out hulks of vehicles.
So what's up with the ethnic cleansing then? They all just fucking, the Serbs decided the Muslims to suck ass and they just killed everything Muslim? And
you know what? There's three parties involved in the war and all three sides are guilty. The Serbs, because they were the biggest...
they're the guys with big sticks.
Yeah, they were the guys with the big sticks. They were responsible for the majority of the action and the majority of the aggression. Because they were the biggest, the most, the wealthiest, and all the rest of it, they took the biggest guns with them and could spank everybody else. But by no means was everybody innocent, or anybody for that matter.
Okay, so who's the savage fuckers there? So you're saying the Serbs are really badass about this whole thing?
The Serbs were the most well-prepared.
Yeah.
Okay. The Croatians, they gave it a lot. They were really... I had to work with a couple, or we had a chance to work with a lot of people who were there during the really bad years that were trying to separate the Croatians from the Serbians and relayed a lot of really, really horrible shit to me.
Like torture stories and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, exactly. So it's war, everything turned to shit, everybody's sticking knives in everybody else's ass.
So, and what you might not, what you guys might realize or think of when I say war is organized armies fighting organized armies, and that's not the case. For example, Slobodan Milosevic, who was the president and one of the major people that's a publicly indicted war criminal, he's actually at The Hague right now representing himself on war crimes charges.
Now, who is he for?
He was the Serbian prime minister, or Serbian president.
Oh, okay, and he's up for war crimes.
Yeah.
Ooh, shitty.
Exactly. So he's, you know, the head of the snake there is up there, you know, representing himself. What happened to him is because he realized that his military forces were fighting wars on all fronts, or battles on all fronts, he turned to his prison system and said, hey, come fight for my side, you'll get an instant pardon. So
he gets all the rapists, murderers, thieves, and crackheads, gives them all heavy automatic weapons, and sends them out to go fuck up the enemy.
Exactly. Now, for hundreds of years, there's been ethnic tensions running throughout these people. Hundreds of years.
Right.
We're talking like the Hatfield and McCoy is squared. So the smallest little chance people will get a chance to hate each other,
they'll
totally
it.
Turn that around and buy into it.
And of course, Milosevic, he's playing on that huge.
Oh, absolutely.
Like huge wartime propaganda, these fucking croat bags of shit, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, Muslim dogs, all the rest of it, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, he's a rabid ultranationalist, Serbian ultranationalist.
So he's like, and plus, I know from my time in that everybody else who's even a partial warring faction somewhere in Europe showed up there too looking to carve out their little niche of the dirt as well. Like I remember reading some docs that said that there was actually Nazis, like German nationalist Nazis and shit who showed up and wanted to do some stuff. Like there's all kinds of weird faction groups and shit.
Oh, mercenary companies had their fingers in the pie deep, man. They were one of the major companies that were operating in that theater, MPRI, which is an American-based mercenary company. Outfitted and trained the Croatians to lead their first successful counterattack against the Serbian forces that they started taking back.
Does MPRI have a website?
Yes, I do.
Really?
I'm sure it's MPRI.com. Matter of fact, I'm pretty sure it is because I've been there.
And this is a mercenary unit.
Yes. Well, they label themselves as advisors, technical advisors, and military security advisors.
Well, fucking 601, right? You know what? They're mercs.
Let's call a spade a spade.
Yeah, they're fucking mercs.
Yeah. So.
What's your opinion of them?
As mercenaries as a whole?
Yeah.
Some people fight for honor, some people fight for ideals, some people fight for money. Who am I to say?
Yeah,
I know what I fight for, what I stand for.
Yeah, so, 601. All right, so, so everything goes shit-hawk hard, and that's essentially how the country got fucked.
Exactly, and then...
Now, what's all this shit about mines? There's mines everywhere.
Yes, there is, actually. Bosnia is probably the fourth or fifth heavily mined world spot in the world. The reason being is, we'll take Germany for example. What's their major export to the world?
Beer?
That. Good cars, right? Italians, yeah. The same thing.
They make some nice guns, too.
Ferrari, high-speed vehicles, all the rest of it, Italian leather, blah, blah, blah. Yugoslavia's little gift to the world is they were the number one manufacturer of landmines.
Oh, great. So they got warehouses of these fucking things.
Oh, everybody had them because they were cheap and easily, manufactured. One of the major cities in our area that we were responsible for is called Bihać. During the war, if you look up any research on the Bihać pocket, it's a very famous place, a scene of a lot of fighting. Place was under siege for 3 years. It is the most heavily mined place in the world with what they figured out as a minimum of one mine per square meter.
Wow. So we're not playing a lot of soccer there, is what you're telling me.
No, you're not. And I actually had the chance to witness, while I was driving through there a couple times, demining activities on the go. It was kind of cool. So.
And that's some hideous shit, eh, mines? I mean, that's like, mines aren't like what they think they are. You know, where it's, you know, you got a metal detector and you go looking for mines. I mean, no big deal, right?
Like, no, it doesn't. Technology's evolved to such a point right now where you think just that. I mean, a lot of the very old-style mines.
Sure, you see the movies, right? Guy steps on a mine, he says, oh, wait, and then he piles rocks on it. and then, you know, he fucks off, right? That's what they do.
Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way, Sean. Yeah.
I don't know.
Well, there's a mine called the Prom 3. It's called a bounding fragmentation mine. And the way this thing is designed is basically you step on that little prong,
yeah,
and it fires up to waste level in the area because it's got like a little booster charge in the bottom of it. And it rockets it up to waste level on the end of a cord. This cord pulls out the bottom of the mine, and that's what causes it to detonate.
And it's like a bouncing Betty?
What they call a bouncing Betty, yeah. But
okay.
Any bounding fragmentation mine or bounding mine. And basically, it explodes at waste level and has a kill zone of like 50 meters.
Really? So you step on one, your buddy 20 meters away could get fucked by it.
Yeah. Actually, they show them in that really, really hideous movie called Behind Enemy Lines, where, what's that fucker's name? Owen Wilson?
Yeah.
Okay, where he's running through the factory and there's mines detonating on all side of the road factory.
Yeah,
because there's like all those daisy chain like tripwires everywhere.
Yeah.
Okay, that just doesn't happen.
No.
No.
He wouldn't have made that then.
No. No, if you want people to see people's heads explode, talk to engineers about that movie. They cry and bleed from the eyes because that is so absolutely wrong. There, if you step on a mine, you're gone.
You're fucking coleslaw.
Yeah.
Okay.
Actually, a couple of the interesting things that they used to do is they used to set mines. They have like anti-tank mines which fire a projectile out, and they would set them at head level on vehicles. They would trip bar across the road, say they would punch through and try to kill the driver, the crew commander, whatever the case may be. They'd take mines, anti-tank mines, which are normally not, you're not able to set them off by walking on. They're designed, you know, to have to take about 100 pounds of pressure. So any vehicle would set it off easily. A man wouldn't, right?
Right.
But they put anti-personnel mine fuses in them, so it takes considerably less pressure to set them off.
Ooh.
And, they'd stack 6 or 7 of those in the ground at a time. They put anti-lift or anti-handling devices on them, so the mines are effectively booby-trapped, even if you do find them. So
that's some scary shit. So these, and there's one of these fucking things every meter over there.
Yeah, exactly. Well, actually, there was one of the more famous mine strikes that happened to the Canadians back in 94, I think it was. There was a guy driving around in an Iltis, which is the Canadian Jeep, and they stacked about 7 of these anti-tank mines on a previously cleared route, just to go and show the Canadians and the UN that they don't control there.
They stacked 70 anti-tank mines on top of each other.
Yeah, exactly.
So that first mine goes and the whole fucking thing just
launches. Okay.
Wow.
It blew probably about a 1,500-kilogram vehicle about a good 120 feet in the air. They found the engine block three kilometers away. The concussion blast took the driver inside. It liquefied his bones. They pulled him out in a garbage sack, which was his skin.
Wow. So this vehicle fucked off 150 feet in the air.
Yep.
And they found the engine 3 kilometers away.
Yeah.
And this guy was a fucking beanbag.
Yeah.
Wow, that's pretty shitty.
He was liquefied.
That ain't no way for no soldier to die.
It was quick.
Yeah, I guess it was quick.
But, that's typical.
So that's not really all that funny when you're talking about little kids and shit getting hit with these things.
No, actually, it's not. It's not. I've got actually several pictures of houses in our area that I used to go through, and they've got mine tape right in their front yards. UXO, unexploded ordnance, so basically mortar rounds, rifle grenades, whatever the case may be that has embedded itself in the ground.
How long is it going to take to unfuck this?
I'm not lying when I say this. Probably about a couple hundred years at current rates.
Really? So that whole area is like uber fucked for the next 100 years?
Oh, yeah. Afghanistan, at the current rate that they're clearing it, will take over 1,000 years to clear of mines. That's just Afghanistan. Not to mention places like Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. I mean, they're still digging up mines from World War II in Africa.
Wow. Yeah,
these things don't go bad, I mean, over time, really.
Yeah, there's no natural deterioration here.
Yeah, eventually they kind of break down, but they're still,
But they just get more volatile and shit like that.
Yeah, we actually found a huge mine cache in our AOR, and over 100 mines.
Well, that's cool. At least you found them.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, so that was a big PR thing for us, and we went and destroyed them quickly and all the rest of it. So.
Yeah, because if you don't, I mean, those can, like, rip people up and shit. A lot of injured? You see a lot of injured people?
In the area that I was at, no. But once I did travel up to Bee Hatch, which is in the northern sector, yeah, there's a lot of amputees. A lot of people in wheelchairs, a lot of people on crutches. A lot.
Man, that's pretty shitty.
Yeah, the interesting thing is, too, the country is absolutely strife with corruption, okay? Like,
I mean, there's no government, right? So everything's uber
fucked. No, there's government. Trust me, there's plenty of government. Take a country the size of Prince Edward Island.
Okay.
All right. And give it 53 political parties.
Holy dog shit.
Each with their own agenda.
Oh, wow.
Welcome to Bosnia.
Wow, that country's fucked.
Yeah. So 60% unemployment. Criminal activity has taken a serious foothold.
Yeah, well, no shit, because people, they're desperate.
Exactly.
Desperate people everywhere.
It's, there's a slave trade going on, bringing in predominantly young girls from all over the rest of the world for prostitution. Drugs are starting to take a hold, gangs, weapon run, and gun running. We found some very interesting things in some of the, when we were doing our raids for weapons.
Like what?
This will probably make a lot of people laugh. You know when you get the really bad gangs and all the rest of their bad parts of towns closed with the gangers hanging out?
Yeah, and they all got their nines and they're busting caps and shit?
Yeah, exactly. I think they're all hardcore. Well, in Bosnia, what they do is they've got fully loaded belt-fed machine guns in the back of the rooms, or AK-47s or any denomination, or RPG-7 anti-tank weapons loaded with rockets.
Wow, that's a drive-by.
Yeah, exactly. That'll really ruin your day in your building.
So these guys got like anti-tank munitions in the gang.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So fuck not with the gang.
No.
Okay. So that's essentially how, that's the score with Bosnia. That's how Bosnia got as fucked as it is.
Yeah, a lot of ethnic distrust, a lot of hatred. When I was there, I didn't meet a single person that was not affected somehow by the war.
Really?
In our camp that we were at, we employed about roughly 100 locally employed people, which was actually, we paid them, I think, on average, their wage was about 450 euro per month. The euro is slightly stronger than the American dollar.
Right.
Just to put it into context. That was triple the wage of the local economy.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's brutal.
So, and it's, again, I mean, if they convert it from euro into the local currency, which is convertible marks, it's about doubled. So most people pay or get paid about 150 euro per month, so 300 convertible marks. Half that would easily go to rent if they were renting an apartment.
Wow.
Yeah.
So, now the people there, do they think that the UN should just fuck off, let them kill each other and sort all this shit out, or what's their kind of viewpoint here?
Yeah, it's a really interesting mix, actually. In the area that the Canada was responsible for, there were two cantons, or basically provincial areas, if you think of it that way.
Right.
Canton 1 to the north, Canton 10 to the south. Canton 1 to the north was about 90% Muslim.
Right.
They're actually doing incredibly well for themselves up there. Their testbed canton, were instituting a number of civil, civil acts, different programs in order to restore the government to a better level, to help the people help themselves,
that kind of thing.
Governments, new waterways, new bridges, new schooling, basically try to, definitely the police departments, making them more accountable, responsible, and credible. Huge things that we're doing for them right there. Canton 10 to the south is where it's a little bit more mixed between Serbs, Croatians, and Muslims, and there's actually a lot more problems.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah,
still acts of violence.
Wow, that's brutal.
Yeah, like the mayor of one of the towns that we were responsible for, Dvar, he got jumped by five guys and beaten up and put in hospital, and yeah.
Pretty hideous stuff.
It is. It's going to take a long, long time to try to sort that area out.
Do you think we should be there? Do you think people should be in there trying to sort that place out?
Canada's been there for 10 years now. We're going to be pulling out probably in about the next year and a half, 2 years tops. We could easily spend another 10 years in there. Gets into an interesting mix, though, which is how long do you want to help people that aren't willing to help themselves? And that's really what it comes down to.
I wonder how that's going to turn with Iraq. Because Canada's already talked about going in there helping them rebuild their country.
Oh, of course. Of course. And same thing with Afghanistan.
Yeah.
You know. So there's a lot of places I think that need it first. I knew going to Bosnia it was going to change me. Being interacting with these people for 6 months and hearing what they had to hear and basically just living in a war-torn environment. And, you know, coming back to that corruption thing. Because building supplies and most people are unemployed, it will take on average from 10 to 12 years for people to rebuild their homes. So everywhere you drive, you see evidence of the war. Exactly the way it was on the front lines.
That's fucking brutal.
Yeah, it's harsh.
Well, buddy, I'm glad you're home. Thanks for the heads up, and I hope maybe a few people might have got a little bit something out of that. So very, very, very cool. And we're going to move along with the rest of the show right here. I'm going to give this mic back to Sim. And it was a transition that no one really noticed. So super cool, super cool. Moving right along into Illuminati news. Everything is under control this week. The Big Brother Awards came out. Privacy International today announced the winners of the 2003 Big Brother Awards. One of the judges, the esteemable Dr. Ian Brown of the Foundation Information Policy Research, FIPR, writes, "It was an alternative amusing and depressing to be one of the judges for these awards. RIP and data retention played a large part in our deliberations." Here's the Privacy International's FIPR's press release in full. The judges of the 5th annual Big Brother Awards have announced this year's shameless winners. The awards are presented each year by the Privacy International for the most persistent and egregious privacy invaders in Britain. From their inception of London in 1988 are now an annual event in 15 countries. The gold awards, in the shape of a boot stamping on a human head, will be presented in five categories. Most invasive company, Capita. This category was a contest between Capita, the company that behind many of the government's most controversial surveillance and data management schemes,
Argos, which, among other transgressions, has participated with a customer thumbprinting scheme. Customer thumbprinting scheme. And the credit reference giant Experian, which won the company category award in 1999. So they got beat up by these other guys. Capital One because of its long-standing involvement with a vast range of government projects. Yeah. Most heinous government organization. Ooh, there's a good one. Most heinous government organization, Asian Association of Chief Police Officers. Ooh. This was a fiercely fought contest between their old favorite of the Home Office and the two newcomers, the Lord Chancellor's Department and the Associated Police Officers. ACPO won because it had recently gone beyond merely being a patsy for bad government policy and taking a more active role in developing and promoting invasive schemes. The Worst Public Servant Award went to Ken Livingston. David Blunkett was consistently nominated for this category, but his transgressions against personal privacy have been so great that the judges also unanimously promoted him to a lifetime menace. See below.
Lifetime menace.
He competed with Ken Livingston, nominated because of his obsession with travel and transport surveillance, on the government's secretive interception of communications commission, Sir Swinton Thomas. Most appalling project award was the PIU data sharing report. The government's discredited entitlement card proposed went head-to-head with data sharing scheme shepherded by the government's performance and innovation unit. The judges felt that entitlement card idea was just too stupid, woolly, and nebulous to win. Other shortlisted nomination was electronic voting. Electronic voting. Lifetime Menace Award, Tony Blair. This was fiercely contested category, but Tony Blair was always slightly ahead of the field because of his active involvement in the government's attack on civil liberties. David Blunkett was close on his heels. Capita becomes the second company ever to make it in the Lifetime Menace category. Good for them. And the new award this year was Dog Poo on a Stick. Each year, the judges consider a nomination that is so odious and so contemptible, they are reluctant to agree to spending the scarce money on an expensive gold award for the villain. These occasions deserve an appropriate award, so this year we give the first Dog Poo on a Stick prize goes to David Blunkett. Private International Director Simon David said the award winners reflected the prolonged and vicious attack on the right to privacy. He said privacy invasion in Britain has become a vast industry that threatens the rights and everyone in Britain. There are no rights in Britain. They have no rights there. There's no charter. The judges were overwhelmed this year with a vast number of malodorous nominations. Many politicians and companies have, since the September 11th attacks, jumped under the security bandwagon without any justification whatsoever. He added the UK government is attempting systematically to extinguish the right to privacy. Their plans should be resisted by everyone who cares about freedom. Privacy International also gave a dishonorable mention to the Office of Information Commissioner and accused the Office of complacency and dereliction of duty because of its consistent failure to adequately promote and protect the principles of privacy. The office is rapidly becoming part of the problem, said Mr. Davies. So, that's pretty much it. It goes on from there. So, yeah, there's a big thing going on with privacy in the UK. Not a good time to be a member of Britain. Sarah Goblin sent me this thing here. The FBI fights back. In a first in the rapidly evolving field of cyberspace law, Russia's counterintelligence services on Thursday filed criminal charges against an FBI agent who says it lured two Russian hackers to the United States, then illegally seized evidence against them by downloading data from their computers in some fucking Russian word I can't pronounce. Russia. Court papers described the men as kingpins of Russian computer crime who hacked into networks at least 40 U.S. companies and then attempted to extort money. He also found that the Fourth Amendment did not apply to the computers because they're not property of a non-resident located outside the United States, or to the data, at least it was transmitted to the United States. So very, very interesting there. The FBI's like, you know, breaking laws it doesn't really care about, but nothing new there. In the SeaTac astronomy category, too many secrets. President George W. Bush has signed an executive order that explicitly gives the government the power to classify information about critical infrastructures, such as the Internet. That means the power to classify them, means make them top secret. Bush late Tuesday changed the definition of what government may classify as confidential, secret, and top secret to include details about infrastructures and weapons of mass destruction. The new executive order makes clear the information released to defense against transnational terrorism is classifiable. Therefore, all of your knowledge about TCOAP could become top secret. I hope you didn't register yourself with the MCSE program. In the techie laws, U.S. House representatives voted overwhelmingly on Thursday to ban pornographic internet sites with misleading addresses and computer-generated child pornography. During the debate over the bill to create a notification network for child kidnapping cases, House members added two technology-related amendments to the legislation. Things like that you want to watch, because when they start adding things into bills due to child pornography. I worry about my freedom slipping slowly.
Who wants to vote down child pornography banning acts?
What, you like child pornography? If you're not with us, you're against us, fucker! And especially the FBI. Now they want to tap into your internet phone call. Wiretapping takes on a whole new meaning now that phone calls are being made through the internet, posing legal and technical hurdles for the FBI as it seeks to prevent the emerging service from becoming a safe haven for criminals and terrorists. The FBI warns regulators to affirm that such services fall under the 1994 requiring phone companies to build in surveillance capabilities.
Mm.
Fall under the 1994 law. The 1994 law requiring phone companies to build in surveillance capabilities.
That law. We all know about that.
I know about that.
Oh,
you betcha.
Yeah.
It's also pushing the industry to create technical standards to make wiretapping easier and cheaper. But privacy advocates fear that because online eavesdropping technology is crude, tapping into the data stream for voice means getting more than what the court ordered, including possibly email and other digital communications. How about I'm just worried about them fucking tapping my internet phone call? How about that one? And Big Brother knows all. New York, it provoked protests from privacy advocates and high-flying executives. People boycotted and badmouthed it. People from our corners hate the idea of passenger profiling system called Computer Assisted Passenger Pre-Screening 2 program, better known as CAPS 2. The CAPS 2 is not travelers' biggest privacy threat, if you can believe that. You want to take a plane? You have to fill out the survey and give us some blood. According to Edward Hasbrook, a travel agent author, CAPS 2 is only one possible use, and perhaps the most invasive, of the Transportation Security Administration's proposed aviation security screening records database. Ooh. Well, we got a whole collection of armory of fucking nasty shit there.
Oh, yeah.
Airline and government spokesmen have attempted to claim fears about CAPS 2, saying airlines will only provide the government with limited data they already collected from passengers, but information contained in the airline database isn't limited to passengers' name, address, and phone number. No, no, no. As Work said during a panel discussion of 13 annual Congress on Computer Freedom and Privacy here on Thursday. There's a lot more information that they're going to hand over. Check out the link. Read about it. Clothing manufacturer update. Backs out of smart clothes idea. Benetton went, oh, wait. Not even the fucking Gap advertisers are going to go for that. Fashion retailer Benetton Group said Thursday it has no immediate plans to attach radio frequency identification smart tags to its Sisley line of clothing to help track shipping inventory sales in the company's 5,000 stores. Yeah, watch this. Watch this.
It'll come back.
They said today it has no immediate plans.
Until you all forget about it.
Benetton said that. But I bet you a bunch of other people did say that. And why do they have to tell you they're doing it? Why do they have to tell you they're putting these smart tags on your clothes?
Yeah, they don't have to.
They don't
they're
have to
clothes,
tell you that.
Right?
There's nothing in the rule book that says they have to tell you that.
All clothes must be labeled if they have smart tags in them. No.
So Benetton says no immediate plans, but that doesn't mean that there's nothing that says they won't do it. There's nothing that says that fucking Philips wouldn't do it. Last month, Philips Electronics, NV and Amsterdam issued a statement saying that the tags, which will use its iCode semiconductor chip, will be integrated into clothing labels made by LabIDEA in Bologna, Italy, and scanned by handheld devices by Scion Technologies Incorporated in Mississauga, Ontario.
Yeah, because Benetton's only one of their customers.
Somebody's buying them. Otherwise, yep. This company's going to go tits up. So, where are the tags going?
Where's all the tags?
So, who's eating all the fucking chocolate? I want to know where those tags are going. And you can bet that the next, because they saw what kind of an outcry there was, you can bet that the next clothing company isn't going to be putting those in. You want to watch,
or at least not telling anybody about
it. That's right. You want to watch that. More on computer scientists opposing electronic voting. As election officials... Oh, do I have a link there for that? Oh, yeah, there's a link there. You got to highlight it, though. You see that? You got the link?
Yeah. I got the electronic voting one.
As election officials rush to spend billions to update the country's voting machines with electronic systems, computer scientists are mounting a challenge to the new devices, saying they're less reliable and less secure from fraud than the equipment they're replacing. Well, who cares? They're going to put Bush in there anyway. Who gives a fuck? Prompted by the demands of state and federal election reforms, officials in Maryland, Georgia, Florida, Texas are installing high-tech voting machines last fall. High-tech. Fuck, I love that word. Officials in those states and other proponents of electronic voting says computer scientists' concerns are far-fetched. Yeah, who the fuck cares, eh? Who cares? Who knows that? In cryptology.
What's that? They're all overblown.
Yeah, what are the computer scientists?
These are high-tech machines.
These are high-tech machines. It says fucking high-tech right on them. Fuck off. Made by the Panacheva Corporation. In the cryptozoological news, a giant squid
known as the colossal kraken, or colossal squid, bigger than a giant squid, is a deadly, deadly creature. A trawler caught a 150-kilogram, 330-pound squid in the sub-Antarctic Ross Sea, about 3,540 kilometers south of Wellington. The squid was eating Patagonian toothfish, which grow to about 2 meters in length. When it was caught, it was dead, was hauled into the trawler, and remains in New Zealand, and its remains are now in the New Zealand National Museum.
It was eating 2-meter fish.
Yes. The body of the colossal squid is much bigger than the giant squid, which can weigh up to 900 kilograms, 2,000 pounds when fully grown. A giant squid's tentacles can be 13 meters long, compared with 5 meters on the recovered creature. The creature was only half grown.
Mm-hmm.
American marine biologist Kate Bostad said the colossal squid is a more dangerous animal than the giant squid, the mythical monster of the deep sea that attacked Captain Nemo's Nautilus and Jules Verne's 20,000 Leagues Under the Sea. The thing that attacked him is not as badass as this thing. This is a very aggressive animal and moves very quickly. If you fell in the water next to it, you'd be in big trouble. Okay, when the scientist says you'll be in big trouble, pay attention to that shit.
Oh, yeah.
The colossal squid finds its food by literally glowing in the dark. Deep waters to find light, to light up its prey for its massive eyes, the biggest of any animal in the world. Holy Cthulhu, Batman.
Whoa.
In the Cult Watch, we've got a bunch of Scientology news for you. Here's the first one, which is a shitload of Scientology celebrities. Do you want to know who's all involved?
I've been waiting for a good list.
Here's a good list.
Excellent.
And, of course, we got Scientollywood.org, which is your wonderful source for Scientology in Hollywood. So you can find out how the celebrities are slowly influencing us in the core political movement, which brings us into the alien fucking race traders, which the Scientologists are. Thank you very much. Then you have the celebrity critics of Scientology, people who are celebrities who hate Scientology. Bet you Nicole Kidman's in there somewhere. Thank you, Nicole. Wog babe. And then we have human rights violations by Scientology, including violations of UDR and the Geneva Convention. Okay? Which is all from lisamcpherson.org. So check that out. These are like some of the reasons why. Why is Sean against Scientology? Here you go. That's why. Thanks for coming out. And don't forget, Scientology versus the Internet. And here's a big listing on how Scientology has been in combat on the internet. And that's from Shade, all those links. Thank you very much, Shade. Keeping the torch going for all us wogs out here. Moving on to the alien problem, India plans a moon landing. Scientists met to debate India's plans to send an astronaut to the moon. The chairman of the country's space agency said the project will have electrified the nation. Indian space research organization, the ISRO, holding this meeting, criticism from some scientists said the mission would strain resources without yielding much scientific benefit. The project needs to be approved by the Indian government. The ISRO hopes to send a small unmanned satellite to circle the moon by 2005 and an astronaut by 2015. I prophesy that for no good reason the United States is going to step in and tell them not to do that. I bet you dollars to donuts, people are going to, in the United States, going to get real pissed off with India going to the moon.
Because
there's something.
They're hiding something. We went there. Nobody needs to go anymore.
Nobody needs to go there.
Don't look at the moon, please.
Nothing there. That's American. You can't go there. You know they're invading. We cannot have
American
Indian
soil.
Terrorists.
We've been there first. Yep.
Can't have Indian terrorists on the moon. That would be wrong. Got some feedback here. Interesting idea. Hey, Sean, I enjoyed your show a few weeks when you interviewed the guy who made the Roswell video. Yes, that was a very good interview. Thank you very much once again.
Mm-hmm.
He kept saying how we should expect the worst since there's no way a race of aliens would be coming to Earth for peaceful reasons. Well, I'm going to get some practice this weekend. It's a paintball scenario game happening in Virginia this weekend. A scenario game is a long game of paintball where people participate in role-playing and complete missions to earn points during the game. This is a fucking brilliant idea. This game's scenario storyline was written by my friend of mine and based on the PC game XCOM, Extraterrestrial Combat Unit. The scenario game runs 26 hours from Saturday until Sunday at 2 p.m. with an estimated 150 total people playing. Each team has a command bunker and a handful of main characters, including a general. And the game also incorporates airstrikes for helicopter insertions, booby traps, and extensive intelligence network. For more information on the event, check this out here. Now, this is fucking brilliant. This is brilliant. I never thought of this, but what an amazing thing. And more than paintball, what if you got into airsoft? What if you used airsoft to train people to get ready for the scenario portrayed in movies like Signs and whatnot? Very, very cool.
Mm-hmm.
If you can't get real steel and play, why not just go onto eBay, type in airsoft, and watch what the fuck happens?
The next best thing.
And we can start training. Maybe something should be looked into that.
Because you can't make human forms, right? You can't shoot at human forms. You know, there's a law against that. But you can shoot at alien forms.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's right.
Nothing against alien forms.
That's right. Not yet. Not yet.
But soon there will be.
I bet there will.
Here's an interesting link. Talking about an alien problem. Now, people have heard me talking about, okay, Sean, come on now. There's a lot of people, you know, there's not everyone's also totally into this race traitor idea. This got sent to me. Okay. Here's a link about a guy named Joshua. Joshua has had cosmetic surgery to make himself look like a gray.
Okay.
And he got interviewed. And I'm going to read part of this interview. Thanks for telling me about your remarkable transformation, Joshua. Can you tell me a bit about what brought you to this decision? Okay, Joshua says, when I was about 11 years old, I was living with my parents on a U.S. military base near Helsinki, Finland. On a U.S. military base. My father was a radar tech involved with early detection in case of Soviet attack. Hmm. One night I was woken up by a loud hum and a thumping noise. When I opened my eyes, I saw bright balls of light surrounding me. It was so bright, everything was white. Suddenly it was sound like an electric pop, and the balls disappeared when my eyes readjusted. Three dark figures were standing there. I really don't know what happens to me, but a few moments later, the lights flashed again. I found myself in another place. I now know it was their ship. I was never afraid. If anything, I felt a strong sensation of euphoria the whole time, just like it said in the interview when I talked about the guy using electromagnetic mind control. They told me it wasn't safe for me to stay with them. Something about my human physiology being incompatible with the speed or way of traveling and something like that. Sounds like horse shit to me, pal. Sounds like you got fucked with on a cerebral level because your dad is an Air Force radar tech who's looking for their fucking ships. They probably got the wrong goddamn room. To allow me to be there safely, they did a number of procedures. What they did was typical of what abductees report, so I don't bore you with that. So they raped him. And I'll post the story and my details on my IM page as soon as people are interested. My next memory is waking up in my bed the next morning. The memory of my abduction was so vivid, but my father telling me bedtime stories about UFOs they tracked recently, which I never took seriously. Oh, really? So your dad told you bedtime stories about UFOs they tracked recently, and then the alien showed up and tried to rape somebody's brain in the house for information about the surveillance equipment. No, that's not even fucking textbook or anything.
You believe it now.
When I went to the kitchen breakfast, my parents broke some horrible news to me. My husky puppy, Charlie, had died that night. Hmm. Like all kids, I was close to my pet and tried to make myself feel better. My mother unveiled early the dirt bike I was received my birthday 2 weeks early. When I got back from playing, my clothes were dirty. I brought them down to laundry where I suddenly shocked reality. Standing over the basket that Charlie had slept in was the same gray creature that had taken me to his ship the night before. He was stroking the blanket that Charlie had been laying on when he died. I didn't move. I was terrified that he might see me, and I didn't know what to do. What you should have done is you should have engaged that fucking target is what you should have done. You fucking cocksucker. You killed my dog. I'm going to stick a knife in your fucking neck. I tell you, if some motherfucker killed Ranger and I found some gray in my house stroking that blanket, I don't know what the fuck he'd be doing.
He wouldn't live too long.
No, he wouldn't live too long.
No interrogation necessary.
You know where you're going? Fuck with. You're going on eBay. That's where you're going. I thought he hadn't seen me as he ran his hands over everything and picked up some of Charlie's hairs and held them between his long, slender fingers, turned his eyes, made contact with suddenly, and suddenly we were one. Oh. I was flooded with a terrible feeling of guilt and grief and loss. Oh, wow. Guilt, eh? Loss. So we killed him. I could feel what he felt. We were one. I was him. I'd done this. I mean, I, Joshua, hadn't done this, but they attempted to communicate with me the night before. Something had fatally injured Charlie. No, here's what happened. Your husky, which is a perfectly good human animal, which understands the threat, which is genetically ingrained in dogs, because they always wake out when aliens show up. Charlie goes, whoa, what the fuck? My boy Josh was getting jacked by a bunch of aliens. He goes, fuck you, cowboy. Makes a move on the Greys. The Greys whacks his ass, and now they feel bad. Bullshit. They're there removing any evidence, buddy. That's why they fatally injured Charlie. You're telling me a fucking race of beings that traveled halfway across the galaxy couldn't enter a goddamn house without accidentally stepping on a fucking dog? Kiss my ass! In a blink, it was over again. I was totally drained emotionally. I reached out and touched the gray, I guess trying to give him some comfort. But with a pop and a hum, he was replaced by a bite ball that shot through the basement and was gone. Yeah. I put my clothes in the wash and contemplated death. We weren't sad, much as Charlie did, because we had killed him before he was supposed to die, if that made any sense. Yeah, I'll give you some fucking shit here. Even though that was 15 years ago now, I'm still remembering new details and learning and understand how it affected my life. You got fucking mind raped, buddy. Overnight, I went from a boy who didn't take anything very seriously and spent his days playing and being a felt connected life all around him. I don't think I really know how to express the love and commitment and connection to the universe I felt. Well, isn't that fucking nice? That guy is a fucking victim. And anybody with half a brain in their fucking head would be able to realize that somebody invaded his house,
yeah,
his dog, who loves him, tried to stop the Greys, and got waxed. Now he's uber mind fucked, so much so that he's cosmetic surgery to make him look like a goddamn gray, winning of hearts and minds.
Well, they fucked his mind over.
Oh, hard. Hard. So you're going to tell me that's a peaceful thing? Fuck you, okay? No. Interestingly enough, moving into the kit corner, let's look at DARPA's grand challenge. Now, I talked about this before. This was a grand challenge to make atomic vehicles that will travel through the desert a couple hundred miles so that they won't put people in danger. It'd be interesting if we could have robots fight these grays, because that way they couldn't use their fucking electromagnetic shit on us. So there's bunch of links reviewed to that. Very, very, very cool. I'm sorry, I'm all pissed off about that fucking gray thing, man. That's just I don't blame that kid. You know, I don't, because his brain's been fucked over. You know?
Well, he can't help it. He had no chance. They just went zip, and now he's like all sympathetic.
Fuck, I hate those fucking grays, man. Fuck. Media review. Got this sent to me from... Who sent me this? Alien Binary. I'm sure you know that Fight Club, Wog Movie All the Way, was originally an underground novel by Chuck Palahniuk. However, the man behind the book also released several other books, which I'm screaming through right now. Currently, I'm reading Choke. Here are the book's descriptions you like to go through each respective novel. I have to recommend you personally to read Survivor. It's about surviving a member of a death cult. Fight Club. No explanation. Asian, but a fuck lot better in the movie. Go check it out. Survivor. This is essentially a book about how the world turned a former member of a death cult into a religious celebrity and how he's fighting indoctrination of his past while being hurtled into a celebrity. Choke, in order to put his mother through a nursing home, Sexaholics Anonymous member Victor Mancini staged an incident of choking death in a classy restaurant to make money. I haven't finished this one, but it's already turned out to be funny, the funniest so far, but in the darkest of ways. Here's a link for that. And he wrote another book called Dumb... anyway, here's a link to the books he wrote. So, that's cool. And I accidentally fucking clicked on it, and I have to go back to my show layout. Here's my show layout. Here's my show layout. There it is.
Did you close it? Okay.
Yeah, I'm okay.
Okay.
Digital baptism tonight. We got four of them. Cranky, which is a server.
Okay.
Is now known as Tombstone.
That's much better than Cranky.
I think so.
Yeah.
Sarah's old server is now known as Marshall, which I like that one. It goes with Tombstone.
Mm-hmm.
Because both those servers are in the same house. Borden is going for a new name. His new name is Cleric with a K. You are now known as Cleric.
Yeah.
And Shade's laptop is now known as Mr. Winker.
Mr. Winker.
Which, when I put my book out, that'll become a lot cooler than what you think it is right now. In closing tonight, you know, I'm really getting concerned about a whole series of things here. Because, you know how I was saying that there's a lot of shit going on in the world.
Yeah.
And we're fighting a lot with each other. And if you look to history, back in the Second World War, near the end of the Second World War, there was a lot of conflict going on and no one was really paying attention. But it was at the end of the Second World War when a lot of aliens started showing up.
Yes,
that's
correct.
That's when Roswell happened and shit. So I wonder what's happening right now. What if the whole world...
Well, they're watching again, maybe.
What's that?
They're watching again. Watching us fight it out.
Maybe.
Because they came after, right? The World War.
Yeah, but if... everybody knows that if you want to ask your mom to do something that your mom doesn't want you to do, you ask her when she's busy.
Yeah.
So if the world looks like a big bag of shit...
Come in then.
Yeah, that's right. Because then they're the saviors, aren't they?
Yeah.
So I'd...
it's the people we've been waiting for that everybody's protesting.
Yeah, they're here to save us.
We need to do something, but we don't know what. It's the aliens. They'll save us.
Somebody's not going to... The aliens aren't here to save us, man. There's some fucking bad shit going on. Special shouts out tonight to everyone who sent me show links. Thank you very much. If you want to help people on the show, get two people hooked on the show, and we'll go through that. And if we can get enough people listening to the show, if you want to donate within the next couple of weeks, we'll have a tab up. You'll be able to donate to the show. Very, very cool. Something that'll help us have a server up to keep our
help
radio.
Us get cool equipment.
Versus shitty equipment.
Versus shitty mics that Sean is speaking to right now.
Yeah, which I
apologize.
I forgot my other mic at home, which was a donation from South by Samurai.
I apologize for the awful, awful microphone.
Is it really bad?
It's really popping.
Oh, is it awful.
Yeah,
that's my fault. I forgot the fucking mic. Going through the IRC tonight, people who stuck around, listened.
Yeah.
Who have a clue. We have Capone X, Misconduct, POE at Work, Shade Photoshop, Shovel, who's a robot, Smokehouse Snake, Xandad Pyro, Albert Camus,
Whoever that is.
Alien Binary, Alamode, Alon 0, Alpha 736, Angelica 0, and Gunfuck. How long have you been doing that? Ant-Man 3, Barcode, Blung, Case, Citizens of Sealy, Dan, Communist, and Dan, Copper Drop, Dancing Monkey, Delamarta, Delusion, Digital Sewage, Dr. Zodiac, Fester G. Penis, Fud Magic, Magnet.
Fudge Magic.
Fudge Magic. I named him. G.I. Jill, Galuco, good fucking name. G-Maniacs, J. Anderton. John D., Judging Eagle, Kadath, Kaizal, Kello, Kexler, Kindling Boy, Leshek, Lentium, Lento, Lizard King, Lorax, Loyalizer, Sick Manuel, Kelly, Mick J., Paladin, Propadoodle, Psycho, Quip Away, Quick Mix, Rackspoon, Rich, Hey Buddy, Rogue 3, Rose, Rumbling Sky, Sir Oak, Skitty, Smoking Fire, Soldiers, Soul, Stitches, Spudley, Star Baby, Stats, Dowdy, Cheese, Music God 1, The Bug, Templar Knight, Toasted Ovenhead, Toaster Ovenhead, pardon me, Transistor Atrocities, Ghost, Turmoil, Tira Kicking Ass, Vampire This Morning, Wi-Fi Girl, Wiggle Puppy, Will Spew, good name, WS Ninja, World War One, Russian Paratrooper, D-Day Species, Lieutenant Ninja Zombie, and Tweaked, who sent me some very good shit this week. Thank you very much, Tweaked. Mm-hmm. And happy birthday to Savvy Fire and JoJo the Dog Face Boy, who, because it's their birthday. So happy birthday to them.
Happy.
We love you. Mm-hmm. We love you. And Zandad, who used to be Boo Boo Kitty Fuck, or whatever it was. So, is that about it? That's about it. You're free to distribute this show anyway, see fit. And
after this show, there's another show.
What's the show that's coming up, Sam?
Tales from the After Now.
That's right. We got
Let's get some echo on that or whatever.
Okay. You have to do that because I can't do it.
Tales from... Where the hell is it? Oh, I've muted it. Tales from the After Now.
That was very Muppet. Anyway, so
enjoy the show.
Actually, give me an echo for a second. I've always wanted to do this.
Pigs in space.
That was awesome. I think that was a pretty good impression. You know,
that is pretty good.
You know, that's going to wind up in a remix.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so if you want to be on Rant Radio, got ideas for a show, we do need programming. And do stick around for the show, after the show, for Tales from the After Now. If you want to support it, there's a way you can donate it. Go to theafternow.com, click on donate, off you go. And if you want to help us and help our show, the best thing you can do is get two people hooked on the show, and we're going to need more bandwidth. But we are growing. We are getting stronger. And even though everything else in the world might be turning to shit, do not worry. It's all about prior planning, guys. All you got to do is work long enough and hard enough and focus. And then eventually, if you do it the right way and you lay the groundwork properly, you can make a good run of it. So things are moving ahead nicely.
Mm-hmm.
Do not worry. There's lots of shit happening that you don't know about. And one does not plan to fail. One fails to plan. The right plan, you will achieve what you need to do. And remember, where you come from is gone. Where you thought you were going to weren't never there. And where you are ain't no good unless you can get away from it.
So you say you gotta know why the world goes around, and you can't find the truth in the things you've found, and you're scared shitless cause evil abounds. Come join us. Well, I heard you were looking for a place to be.